First, our monthly deacons meeting, which got postponed for a week, we'll have it after second session. We are also in need of provision of some kind of meals for Anthony Dewey. Please see Rebecca Whitaker if you're interested in making this application. All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship and ready to move forward. Okay. We saw that the sieges of Jerusalem illustrated on line on one side, on the other, and the big disparity between the length of the one on the left side of his body versus the one on the right side. Personal instructions for Ezekiel during this ordeal are found in, we saw verses 7 through 17, to illustrate the plight of the Jews during these sieges. The water, the food, cooking it over, animal dung, all that is to illustrate the plight of the Jews who were holed up in Jerusalem during the siege of Jerusalem on those occasions when Jerusalem fell to the enemy. Point 34, 390 years from 703 B.C. yields nothing that makes any sense prophetically. It just throws you out there with a date that there's nothing there. But there is a critical clue. I didn't come up with this. In Leviticus 26:18, which says, "If also after these things you do not obey me, then I'll punish you seven times according to your sins." And verse 21, "If then you act with hostility against me and are willing to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times for your sins." And Leviticus, those verses 27 through 28, "Yet if in spite of this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then," that should be, "I will act with hostility against you, and I, even I, will punish you seven times for your sins." 36, "As for the northern tribes, the punishment for their stubbornness," negative volition, "is by a factor of seven." This is where we're getting to the punchline, if you will. The following calculations are as follows. 390 times 7 equals 2,730 years. 703 BC minus 1, no zero year between 1 BC and 1 AD, equals 702 BC. Subtracting 702 BC from 2,730 yields 2028. This is the year the Lord will return to the earth from the right hand of God, and reclaim his chosen people, Israel. I don't know what that is. Hang in there. I compared this, Ezekiel 37, 21 and 22. "Thus say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side, and bring them into their own land. And I'll make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king over them all," that's of course Jesus Christ, "and they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I'll deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God." All right. The ultimate restoration of Israel. 40. This is when the millennial reign will commence. 41. This fits with the 80-year generation that began in 48. And the coincidences of 48, 67, 80, and so forth, and 2028 given in the Mark analysis. Moving on to the enacted prophecy concerning the southern kingdom of Judah, where Ezekiel was to lie on his right side for 40 days, with each day equaling 1 year for the sins of Judah, we must take into consideration that Judah was dispersed twice for their rebellion against God. The southern kingdom got it twice. They got it in the day of Jeremiah, and they got it in the day of the apostles, 70 AD. Keeping in mind Leviticus 26 and the verses threatening a sevenfold judgment for failure to repent of their evil ways, we come to the following calculations for the southern kingdom of Judah. 40 times 7, 280. First dispersion. And 280 times 7 equals 960 years for the second dispersion, beginning in 68 AD. In conclusion, we had 68 to 1960 years, and we come up with 2028. Now, you can go back over this until it settles in your head. It keeps zeroing in on 2028. Because as I said before, if you don't do this factoring with seven, none of this makes any sense. It just lands out there in no man's land on the timeline. But when you do that, and of course, God sort of likes the number seven and multiples of it. Okay? 7 days in the week, 7,000 years of human history, and all the rest of it. Daniel's 70 weeks of years, 10 sevens. In 2028, the fourth and final siege of Jerusalem will take place. Jerusalem will be under siege one more time. And of course, Jerusalem, as a place on earth in Israel, their historic capital, which they gained sovereignty over in the day of David, ran out the Jebusites. They took the city, established it as their capital. This particular city, Jerusalem, is the apple of God's eye. And all the territories and land and everything that make up Eretz Israel, that's his special spot. You know, people say, this is God's country. People go to the mountains and say that and all the rest. Well, the best and the place that God holds dearest to his heart, in all the places on the earth and all the places in Israel, even sacred places, it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem has a destiny. All of its ups and all of its downs. We saw in the previous session how Jerusalem, the last of the standing cities, was delivered in the day of Hezekiah spectacularly, phenomenally. How he turned back Sennacherib and spared the city because the people inside the city did something they were supposed to do. They confessed their sins and called on God. And their sins were not insignificant sins, as if there's such a thing. That's the key. See, people, that's the key to dragging yourself out, if it happens to you, and hopefully it won't. But that's the key to dragging yourself out of reversionism. I don't care what the reversionism is. I don't care how nasty it is. I don't care what it is. That's how you get yourself out of it. You turn to God, confess your sins. Yeah, quit doing that. And you could be on and come roaring back to the top in God's will. Now, there are those that will continually remind you what you did back in the day. But they're not. But the thing is, we see this with Hezekiah. We see this with these other people. So this is a spirit. See, this is the amazing thing about God's grace. This wasn't lighthearted superstition that the Jews were involved with during their history in the Old Testament. It was as rank as you almost can make it. They were involved in sexual orgies, because that's all a part of this thing. They were involved in all kinds of misconduct and human sacrifice. See, some of these deities required that you offer up children to them. That's why those Indian places like the Aztecs, and that's how they, why they went out of business. And they still say, we don't know what happened to them. Well, probably some big plague came through. I don't know what happened to them. God made them extinct. But when people turn to God, believers, I'm using believers as an illustration, any unbeliever, you know, but can be saved. When they turn to God, repent, as it were, confess their sins, call on Him, He'll restore you. And that doesn't mean all the bad stuff will go away. If you got a 20-year prison sentence, then you turn to the Lord in prison and do the best you can. You still could finish your course. Samson did it at the last minute when he was sleeping with that Delilah, who kept working on him to figure out what the key to his, why God gave him this strength. And there is no correlation physiologically between long hair and muscles. Okay? Grow your hair longer and you'll be a stronger guy. No. No. It applied to Samson as a symbol. Men are not supposed to have long hair. And yet God tells the Nazarite of the Nazarite vow, you're not supposed to cut your hair. Why? The Nazarite is a play act. See, Ezekiel did a play act here, didn't he? It's a play act on the Messiah. Jesus didn't have long hair. Well, you say, I got a picture of him. I bought it at Walmart and he does. Sucker. Throw it away. Don't give it to anybody either. You're passing this. But anyway, it shows that he was under his humiliation. Nazarite wasn't to eat or drink anything connected to the grapevine. And that all is a part of an illustration to teach something about the person of Christ and the joy and things that were denied him normally so he could fulfill the first advent. I don't mean he didn't have plus H. I mean he just was put in that situation. So, anyway, back to this. So 2028, the fourth and final siege of Jerusalem, will take place. As with the first siege, the Lord will the first siege. There's three sieges. Excuse me. One, there is the one that got turned back and they were delivered. That was the first siege by the Assyrian Sennacherib. The city was delivered. And the people got to walk outside and bury 185,000 Assyrians. The siege in the day of Jeremiah was not turned back because the Jews in the city suffering unbelievably. Can you imagine this? This is always another one of my illustrations. People can be drugged through stuff that is the most miserable stuff and even maybe know what they're supposed to do and won't do it. And just sit there and watch your kids die and starve to death when all you had to do was turn and call on the Lord. And so the siege of the day of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that siege wasn't turned back because they didn't repent. And the siege of the Romans in 70 AD wasn't turned back because they didn't turn their act around. So they went through misery, illustrated on Titus's triumphal arch, with him carrying the Jews in bondage and carrying the golden menorah. Titus's arch. That siege wasn't turned back because they didn't turn back to God. So you get yourself in a fix. You get yourself in a fix, you can get out of it. I'm not advocating anything. But Samson did it at the dead end of his career, when he was had his hair cut and his eyes gouged out, because his eyes were the source of his weakness. Pretty females. His first wife, married outside the Jewish race, tell his parents, he's this big overpowering guy, tell his mom, dad, get her for me. She looks good to me. And his mother says, why can't you marry a nice Jewish girl? Too funny. A great line for a movie, you know. But it's actually in the Bible. It says she said that. So he got her, and you know how that ended. And that I'm not trying to say he was with the wrong kind of woman in the wrong way 24/7. It wasn't that way. There's different types of fooling around. The one where he pulled off the city gates and drug them 40 miles, these aren't flimsy little gates. They aren't like these ones out here. not that they're junky, but that they're lightweight. They built city gates to be heavy so an enemy couldn't break them down. Right? That's what they had for fortifications. City gates. Jerusalem had them all the way around. He drug it 40 miles. How much did he weigh? And this kind of supernatural strength is unheard of. Oh, I only said that is because this is the Bible does not pull punches and cover up. It isn't there to just, I forgot the word, just throw stuff out to be, you know, offensive. But if it's a part of the record, it said he went into one of the cities, Gaza, one of the Philistine cities at night, grabbed him a prostitute. I guess he wanted to witness to her. I have a story about a friend that witnessed to a girl like that. We don't advocate any of this, okay? It was in Vietnam and she got saved. Anyway, it says he got up about midnight and pulled the city, those gates off there and drug them clear out there. But the one that got him in trouble, the one where he divulged the secret to his strength, God is saying basically, if you keep your hair long, I'll keep giving you this supernatural strength beyond human strength, beyond any strong man strength you've ever seen. I don't know how that works physiologically, so I just accept stuff in the Bible like that by faith. And had his hair cut, and he was like everyone else. The Philistines all wanted to make sport of him and have a big party, a big event with all the VIPs, and everybody came, and we're gonna finally kill him in front of everybody and torture him and kill him. And they take him out blind. And somehow he recognized there's a little boy there, and he says, will you get me near these two pillars? I need to lean up against something. Because he'd scoped out this city. He knew what these key pillars were. And how he pushed or pulled him in. And they're all celebrating. He killed more Philistines on that one event than all of them he took down under God's direction in that 1 minute. I guess that did in Delilah too. And all the rest of them that were there. And Samson died. But you see, he called on the Lord after he had violated his Nazarite vows. He violated those by telling the secret to his long hair. All this is to say that you turn to God as an observation. You get yourself in trouble under your sin nature. You can pull out of this. This formula works. If you don't, then you'll just be ground under. I don't mean necessarily you're going to die some horrible way, but you're just going to go that way. We have verses in the Bible how to help restore some believer that's got them caught up in certain types of sinning. They're shocked. They're over, oh, I'm not worthy. What? It's called reversion recovery. Now there's basic recovery. Basic, I got out of fellowship again over that. That's different, but it's still what it is. So, in 2028, the fourth and final siege of Jerusalem will take place. And as with the first siege, this is an Akrab event. The Lord will intervene and turn back the siege, delivering Israel, third commonwealth, once for all and forever. And make Jerusalem his capital, and he will rule the nations from Jerusalem. And we step over into the eternal state. On the new earth, we'll get a new Jerusalem. It's a city that's 1,500 miles cube, high, wide, so forth. You can put a lot of people in there. The calculations for the elapse of the 7,000 years of human history. We have a documented verse. We gave you this thing. It's on the bulletin board. We handed that particular timeline out. There's a bunch of timelines you can hand out dealing with different aspects. But this one just features the 7,000 years of human history. The Lord, in the year 2028 will be 5981 year from the restoration of the earth and the creation of Adam. The calculations for the elapse of the 7 years of human history, 2 Peter 3:8, are as follows. 3954. Now someone will say, how'd you come up with that number? That number is based on a calculation of the numbers in the genealogies there of the patriarchs, pre-flood and so forth. So-and-so lived so many years and begot so-and-so. And died. You can figure out. I know that between Adam and the flood was exactly 1,656 years. So 3954, again, minus one, no zero year. When you go from 1 BC to 1 AD, you have a no zero year. Just one, one. Equals 3955. Years plus 2028 equals 5981 years since restoration. What we have, this leaves us short 19 years and not an even 6,000 years. See, because we got to add another 1,000 to that to get us up to the 1,000 mark, the millennium. So we've got the number 19. I don't know if it's that, you can't divide anything into it. It would be a full 19 years for that whole Gog and Magog event, where Satan is released from his prison, comes out and deceives all the negative volition and all the masses of people on this earth during that come out of the millennium. They're allowed to run amok. Apparently, it's going to take Satan a while to convince these people they can win over Jesus Christ. But you know, you just about can deceive anybody at any time on anything. Do not be surprised when you see people suckered in and taken in and deceived. People you knew and understood to be strong and on top of doctrine got deceived. We're all vulnerable to that. We suffer deception in a lot of ways. When we go with our STA, knowingly, line up with it. In that moment in time, we are momentarily deceived. Why are we deceived? Well, this is fun, enjoyable, as in the lust sins. This is enjoyable, and you're deceived because you missed the opportunity to stay in fellowship, resist the temptation, please God, maybe get SG3 out of it. But you go for the here and now and the momentary gratification. You're deceived. Now, when you rebound, you can judge that. See, that's why we're told in the Bible, judge yourself. Evaluate your mental attitude and your actions that come from that. And if you want to run in sin, then you'll know that you are and that you're out of fellowship and you're not playing any games with it. I'm advocating, obviously, take the high ground and don't do that. But when you do, you recognize that this was a sin and you did it again and you fell prey for it and you were momentarily deceived. You thought it's in your best interest to do that now, some kind of gratification, when in fact, it wasn't in your ultimate best interest. But, you know, it's the here and now and right now and all this that we fall prey to. This leaves us short 19 years and not an even 6,000. The answer lies with the time allotted for the Gog and Magog rebellion that takes place after the 1,000-year millennium has run its course, Revelation 20, 1 through 3. After the 1,000 years are finished. What's Jesus Christ in Jerusalem going to do? Well, they're not going to go away, but they're going to stand down. Satan is out and he's working on the masses. Now, you can't just convince them overnight. My gosh, they've seen all these years of the power and glory of God on earth and the things he can do. And been around people in resurrection bodies that don't die, get sick, or anything else. So you're going to have to work to get these people convinced. But once you're negative, you're on that path. And you are putty in the hands of the enemy. It's that simple. Every one of us, throw your armor aside. You put your armor on, you got here today. Things have changed around here, but they haven't. They haven't changed. Same doctrine, same emphasis, and those of you here who are here, you've stepped up and you're filling these holes and applying Bible doctrine. And that gives me a lot of gratification because I have a ton of sorrow with regard to the rest of them. Where's so-and-so? So I've always said, you've got something against me. I did something to you that's so egregious that you're going to throw your spiritual life overboard. What are you made of? I don't quit because you do something. Suffer abuse. Where did all this business in the Bible go with forgive as Christ forgave? Where'd that go? Oh, I'll forgive, but not that. So when you talk to anybody, if you do, you exhort them. You got a problem with Jack. He said or did something that you didn't like. And it's possible. Ask Brenda. It's possible. So what are you supposed to do? I'll only forgive you one time. Oh, just one. You're so stingy. Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother for doing this to me? You're familiar with that one, aren't you? So a person who will not forgive as Christ forgave is dead in the water. Dead in the water. I know I can offend someone. Probably. I don't go around looking to do it. In the Christian life, offenses will come. Did you ever see a perfect family when no one got at each other's throats? No. Even married people have falling outs. You have to get up. That's why it says, do not go to bed mad. Resolve it, and don't let the sun set on your wrath. The formula. Don't just keep carrying this stuff on. If we can't forgive, we're nothing. It's a form of reversionism. Well, I can forgive, but I can never forgive. I had a woman tell me that. I told you that. Her first husband took off with another female. And she held on to that bone all her life. Made herself miserable with it.
Well, you just shot yourself in the foot, the other foot. Write it off. Move on. And even, see, he was a Christian, don't harbor all this mental stuff that'll make you sick. It's not worth it. All right, we'll pick up here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.